At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, thanks for joining us on the Mole Valley Farmers podcast. Wouldn't it be great to know from the comfort of the farmhouse what grass growth is going to be like on your fields without actually having to set foot in the field itself? Yes, this is possible, and today we're going to talk you through it. In this podcast, Omega Crop co-founder Jared Bainbridge explains how new satellite technology predicts current grass covers and can forecast growth without walking fields and measuring by hand. So if that's exercised your thoughts, then no need to walk away from this one. We'll bring you this groundbreaking conversation next here on the Mole Valley Farmers podcast. Before today's conversation, though, can I make one request? Wherever you're listening, please hit the subscribe button, as we're delighted to have connected with you, and subscribing will mean you'll know when the next farming conversation is available, usually every fortnight. Thanks again. Thanks for joining us again on the Mole Valley Farmers podcast. I've got Lisa and Jared with me for this conversation. Let's start with our guest today. Jared, just to introduce yourself to us.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I'm Jared Bainbridge, the co-founder and CEO of Omega Crop, and we are the provider of the grass cover prediction service through Mole Valley.
Great to have you along, Jared. And morning, Lisa.
Morning, Seth and Jared. Very excited to have Jared here today to talk through our grass prediction, the technology that we're partnering with. I suppose I got into, wanting this as probably Jared will explain a little bit more, because we're just not, utilizing grazed grass enough. And being the most cost-effective way to feed animals, it makes absolute sense that, particularly in a grass-growing region like we are, that we're making the most of it. So, hence the partnership.
Excellent stuff. So let's take it right back to the very beginning, the core of this. Jared, just tell us, what is Omega Crop?
So what's Omega Crop is? Is we're a crop modeling service, right? So we're very good at using things like geophysics and very kind of diverse data ecosystems to understand what's happening on your fields today and predict what's going to happen over time. And what we've done is we've turned that power and focused it on predicting grass growth, right? So that means being able to predict every day, no matter what, how much grass is in each and every single one of your fields, as well as providing a seven-day forecast for how much dry matter is going to be there in 7 days' time. And that service is born of, it was actually we started life as an arable service, but it was our customers that said, can you please do something on grass? Because nobody's really kind of provided that answer for us. So we had a good look at what had been done before. And what had been done before was, there are great systems out there that allow you to, if you walk a field and you've put in that time, you can record that in a system and it'll chart it for you, right? And they're great little systems. And there have been other people out there that had, in the last few years, tried to use satellites only to predict what's in the field for you. And the challenge with those systems was that you need the image, which means the service is very intermittent. So if you're moving your cows, every day or multiple times a day, and you're only getting an update out of that service once per week, it's not going to match the frequency of your decision making. So we had a good look at this and said, what would it have to look like for it to be valuable to our dairy farmers? And it had to be every day, no matter what, there had to be a prediction. So then that meant having a completely different approach to the model building than had ever been done before. So we sat down and we worked on that for years. Years and years putting together and testing a model in a field and testing the applications in the field to make sure that they would work with the model and were intuitive for our farmers to use. And I'm very kind of proud to say that what we've come up with at the end of it is something that across the board, everybody seems to be having a really, really great time with, whether it's looking at the satellite data, which is very high frequency, or looking at the model outputs, which are every day, no matter what.
Wow, it sounds incredible. First, perhaps obvious question then, is that if you're already using satellites, what if there's cloud cover? How do you overcome that? Is that all part of the magic of what you're creating here?
Yeah, all part of the magic and the voodoo of how it's all kind of come together. So when we were building a model, we said, well, how do you make it every day if you're not going to get image every day? Well, what you want is you need to build a model that doesn't rely on imagery, right? So our model understands how grass grows in different conditions, right? It understands, you know, it looks at the weather, it looks at weather forecasts, it looks at other various remote sensing inputs that can tell us anything from soil moisture data, soil temperature data, you know, temperature, humidity, all sorts of other kind of factors. And we look at that at kind of a multi-layer level as well, whether that just be field level, regional level, like we've got lots of different layers and resolutions of information. But a lot of that we can tells us something that's happening in those fields without the need for a clear photo of it. Because if you're using radar or temperature data or something else like that, it'll tell you the soil moisture or the soil temperature, or we can even see how much sunlight is hitting each of the fields, right? So we understand the watts per meter square of sunlight that's actually hitting your field as well. So with all of those things, right, you don't need a clear photo of the field to understand how quickly it's growing. Instead, you have the metrics to be able to accurately kind of predict growth. And then when we get an image, right, let's say it's the one day of the week where the parts cloud and we get it clearer to the ground, we will then use that image to help us kind of cradle that answer to a more accurate place. But we don't need the image to make the prediction, because I know that the conditions exist for that grass to be moving and how quickly it should be. You know, and you can kind of imagine that by sitting there and thinking about what happens if one of those metrics doesn't exist, right? So we're coming into a colder time of year at the moment. And let's say we were looking at a field using remote sensing data. And we might say, you know what? It rained 2-3 days ago. Soil moisture information looks good. Maybe you're in a lucky part of the country and ambient air temperature doesn't look that bad and humidity isn't too bad either. And all of that points like it looks like it should be okay growing conditions. But we know that soil temperature is pretty cold at this point in time. So because of how cold that soil temperature is, the grass isn't moving, right? If at all, if anything, it's if you're putting on very little weight, if anything. Right. So you imagine that you take that one metric away and all of a sudden all the pieces of the puzzle aren't there anymore. And you can play that game as well at any other time of year, because you can say, well, hey, you know what? It's May. Soil temperature looks great. Lots of direct sunlight hitting the field. Air temperatures are like 20 something degrees. Everything's looking really good. But I haven't had rain in 2 weeks and my soil moisture doesn't exist. Well, now that metric's not there. So your grass isn't moving then either. Right. So if you can imagine what happens when one of those things fall away, you can then imagine what we're doing in the background when all of those things come together, and we can predict how much is there today, but also how much is going to be there in 7 days' time. So that's how it all kind of comes together. That's about as descriptive as I can be without giving away too much IP.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And Lisa, that prediction ability for a farmer, that must be very useful.
It's absolutely critical. I think, you know, the analogy that I bring to the table from an agronomy point of view is that, you know, every farmer really knows their cows so well. They will know the breeding of the cows. They'll know, you know, the milk yield. They'll know everything, you know, that cow's probably going to do through the season. But if we ask them about a field, they won't know how much that's yielding. They won't know generally, you know, they might know when it was reseeded, but what return is that investment or, you know, for them? So this is actually a way of looking at the fields in a really in-depth way. So again, from an agronomy point of view, you can see which fields are performing, which ones aren't, which ones might need some attention. So perhaps it's a soil test to identify a nutrition problem. Perhaps it's the quality of the sward that's out there that's not performing. So from we can really be very, very detailed about where we go and where we can make improvements. So suddenly you can be looking at your worst field and turning it into your best field. So you are improving based on the return on your investment, which is something we're just not doing. We tend to think about, okay, how was the grass this year? Well, like Jared said, from if you're plate metering and you've gone out every single week and you've walked those fields, you've probably got a good idea. But the biggest challenges within farming now is labour. And when I went round at the beginning of the year to get some product, champions, so we could prove what Jared was saying was right. Not that we didn't trust you, Jared, but, we like to test things here at Bull Valley. The amount of people I spoke to, and they're like, well, we used to measure, but we don't have the staff anymore, or we don't have time. We'd like to, but we just can't. And then I saw, even more from what, Jared was saying, this is even more future development that we absolutely need in order to, maximise the return on yields per acre. And, there's a big focus on efficiency and being able to grow, this more grass for the same amount of inputs makes absolute sense. And we can manage this better and feeding the cows at the right time. So, they're getting the right nutrition from the grass, and when they're going in, they're not going in too late. They're not going in too early, that the grass hasn't had a good time to recover. So yeah, there's just so much that can come from this. And, Jared's already blows my mind how accurate they can be. But there's lots more to come as well, because they're not even finished now. This is an ongoing program, and the program also our test pilots, if you like, been out there for the whole season. And I've got a copy on my phone, and it is so easy to just click in a field and just see how much grass they've got there.
I mean, that is quite a thing, isn't it? As you say, effectively Omega is there every day when you can't be. I guess that must be your selling point, Jared.
Yeah, it's that, that helpful hand that's there all the time. It won't milk your cows for you, unfortunately, but it will kind of walk your fields for you, right? And labor is tough at the moment. But yeah, it's one of the great things about the service is that it's very low touch for the farmers, right? So the only thing you ever have to tell it is when you've grazed off a paddock. That's it, right? And then once you tell it that, right, it will understand where you are in your rotation, and then it'll predict from there forward until you graze it again or close it off for the year. And that kind of, we wanted to make sure it was extremely low touch, because a lot of these other systems out there are, they do have like a nice benefit, but it's a lot of high input. Like, you have to do a lot of work to get the value out of it. And people are time poor, right? They can't find hands around the farm. And the idea to them of adopting something that requires a lot of work just would stop it dead in the water. So we made sure from the beginning that it was going to be a low touch, good outcome service for our farmers. And the great thing about it as well is, like, if they decide to really kind of engage with it, it'll scale with that as well, right? So it'll the more they tell it, the more it'll tell them back, which is really great. Like, the guys that have been on for the year at the moment, and maybe we can, we're putting together these reports for the first time, right? The guys that have been on for the year, they're all going to get a report that tells them how much dry matter they took off each paddock this year and how often each paddock was grazed, as well as where within the fields that grass came from, right? So then you can sit there and you can have an empirical conversation, right, with your advisors about, well, what are we going to do about these rough bits that are underperforming consistently? Because it could be that you've got a field that yields really well, but it's all kind of coming from, half the field and the other half is not doing that great, and that there's something you could be doing to lift performance. And that just, it kind of arms you, the farmer, with the knowledge and the information to sit there and make that call.
Yeah. And the other thing, that one field is going to be getting the same amount of fertilizer. It's, it's the whole field's going to be getting the fertilizer, where in actual fact, only half of it's performing. So, you know, either get the other half to perform if the soil's capable of it, or you manage your applications of nutrients and go, actually, you know, I'm not going to get the return of my investment in that area. We won't apply it. From a money point of view and from an environment point of view, this is a much better way to manage your fields. It really gives so much more opportunity, particularly in grassland, we've never had. I suppose, you know, I came into the imagery side of things through Arable, looking at Green Area Index on OCDREP. I thought, well, this is all very nice, but is there 10 days of cloud cover in Wiltshire at the point? I was like, this is never going to work on grass. And when I came to Mull and had a conversation with Jared, it just like, well, thank goodness, finally, we've got something for grassland. And these guys are so passionate about grass. I was like, why? And they said, because we like solving problems. And this is a problem that desperately needed solving. And here it is, you know, in such a simple, easy to use app. And I think, you know, we've been out to a few shows this year, you know, we're down to Earth, at a couple of other places, and people are, oh, I've seen this before. And it's like, well, no, you haven't, because this is, you know, this, like Jared said, it's the prediction model that's underneath it. They know how grass grows, and nobody's taken that time and effort to understand that previously and put it into such a simple system. So yeah, it's fabulous and super easy to use.
So if somebody said, yes, I want to do this, Lisa and Jared, what kind of happens next? What does saying yes mean?
So saying yes means we begin the onboarding process. So firstly, we congratulate them on making such a great decision, right? And then, but then we begin the onboarding process, right? So we don't just go, look, app, there you go, have fun with that, and then you're just kind of left to make sense of it all by yourself. What we do is we jump on, if you've already got, say, an electronic version of your fields somewhere, you can send those to us and we can use that. But we'll still double check that that's how they're managed to you, just in case there's any permanent fencing in there or anything like that. If you don't have that, we'll jump on a quick call with you and you just tell us where your fields are, right? And then we'll draw them such that we've got a digital map of your fields. And then what we do from there is we load that up into the application and we pull together all the remote sensing data, like satellite imagery, weather data, all the rest of it, right? And that takes us about, in the background, the system's doing a massive kind of update to kind of understand your fields and all the rest of it. And that takes it like maybe a couple of minutes. But in the meantime, we handle your login details and then you can log into the service and you can see your own fields. And then we train you how to use the service on your own fields, right? So we're not using some demo project that doesn't mean anything to you and doesn't reflect the reality of your farm. Instead, you're being shown how to make the service work for you on your own fields. And we'll do that for anybody that you're giving access to on your farm. So it could be, you know, you, your kids, whoever is running around with the application on their phone or on their desktop computer.
So it's on your phone, isn't it, basically, or your desktop?
Yeah.
There's iPhone.
Yeah, so it's, at the moment, it's available on your iPhones, right? So any iOS device, including tablets, it's available on desktop, right? Whether that's Windows or Mac. The Android is in development. I saw a mock-up of that the other day, so it's actually closer than we talk about, but not close enough that I can give anybody a release date just yet. Right, but if you have Android, you can get it on your desktop computer now, and then once the Android is released, we'll send it straight across to you and show you how to use that. But it's the same as, it should feel the very same as the desktop. One of the important things to kind of realize about these applications, as well as that, and this is one of the things that also makes us different beyond the daily prediction, right? Because nobody else does daily predictions, right? But the other thing that makes us different is the fact that our solution lives on your device. So if you don't have access to the internet at a particular moment, you can still open up the application and it'll have everything you last downloaded on it. This is very different to what you're probably used to experiencing, because what you're used to experiencing is an application that needs the internet to work, right? And if you open it up and you try to change something, it'll collapse, right? Because it doesn't have the internet to update. Or sometimes you might get a spotty service because it's trying to cram a service down a very thin and frail kind of bandwidth on your farm. Because our solution lives on your phone or lives on your computer, your internet can be intermittent. It can be frail. It can turn off and on. And a MegaCrop service will continue to update in the background all by itself. So you don't need to be trying to remember your actions to be updated in a system later. Like, let's say you graze a field or you do something to your fields and you want to record it in your system. You can do this anytime, as it would be with you in the field with or without access to the internet. This removes the burden from you of needing to remember to do something later, as it's already been recorded in the system. You don't need to remember to do it when you're back in the office, as it's already there. And then when you get back to the internet, let's say you did this on your phone, it will update every other device that has access to that field, and it'll update the modeling with any pertinent information as well. It also means that we can deliver our high quality of service consistently, because our service is not dependent on the quality of your internet connection. So instead of, because our solution lives on device, we can rely on the hardware you already have and trust that you have some type of internet connection some of the time, in order for a MegaCrop to hand on our heart, say that you will receive a high quality of service.
Well, I mean, you know, that answers several of the questions, doesn't it? Because obviously, you know, we deal with member shareholders in rural areas. Some haven't been upgraded on their internet. The phone is 3G at best. So having that is a real reassurance, isn't it? Because that could have been a barrier potentially to people thinking, yeah, I'm going to invest in this.
Yeah. I mean, we've tested this in, like, Grant, the CTO. He lives in Houston, Texas. And I don't know if anybody's ever been out to Houston, but there's a lot of areas out there which is just wild land that isn't anywhere near a phone signal. And, you know, we've been out testing it on ranches and stuff out that way as well for, like, real low connectivity. What works it on the worst day? Like, how do we get it to work, right? And that's always the metric of success for ourselves. It's like, is it going to work in the tough conditions when you really need it to?
Yeah. And I was going to say the onboarding you mentioned is literally like half an hour, isn't it?
It's not a massive chunk out of your day. It's more so just an investment from our perspective, because we don't want to imagine getting a new piece of farm equipment and nobody's ever shown you how it works or what to do with it. You know, it's just like any other, you have to respect the equipment just like anything else that you've got on farm. And we just want to make sure we show you the ropes. But also, if you've ever got a question, right, we've got a WhatsApp channel that the whole team is on, right? So if you call us on there or text us a question, right, one of us is going to see that right back to you, or jump on a call with you and talk you through the how-to if you've forgotten how to do it. Yeah.
It's not like a bot chat or something.
No. There's real people.
Fake. It's real people.
Half the time, people are chatting to me. It's because I'm
just, does work all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah.
And if you're asleep, then Grant's awake, so it works.
Yeah,
Grant.
We've got people working for us that we are, because obviously we've got the dev team is quite widely spread as well. So we've got people that are working for us as far east as Athens and as far west as Houston, Texas. So there is somebody awake at any time of night to look after you. Yeah.
And you mentioned Grant there. I mean, he's got a little bit of a background in measuring things, isn't he? If he can measure grass quite easily, I think, from what you're saying about.
Yeah, I think grass is the easiest thing he's ever modeled. So Grant is a geophysicist, full stack developer, 12 years in oil and gas. You know, he's been building programs and pulling them apart and putting them together since he was like 14, 15 years old. He is an absolute genius when it comes to modeling and everything else. And he's a great guy as well. And he's the co-founder of the business along with myself. So he's absolutely the technical modeling side of the business. And I'm the business side of the business. So I get to do this kind of great work, which is go around and chat to people and talk to them about their service and what hurts and what needs solving. So.
So he's used to measuring loads of oil underground, so a bit of grass on the top should be quite easy.
Yeah. He's used to telling people where to drill. Was his original calling?
Thank goodness for you guys.
He got a bit tired of that, and then we met, and then the rest is history. Yeah. I also want to make sure I mention the rest of the team here. Whilst Grant and I co-founded the business together, our success has only been possible because we've assembled a highly talented team of individuals from all over the world who are dedicated to solving these issues for farmers. And I couldn't be prouder of the work they're doing. And I really salute their inventiveness and tenacity to keep going as we continue to enhance our offering moving forward.
And so for you, you've just mentioned there, the team is quite disparate, spread internationally. But actually, for you and Grant, this was something that came out of Oxford University, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we were studying together. So I was kind of had a bit of an idea that this was the kind of business I wanted to put together. It was a crop modeling business, and I decided to pursue kind of further study so that I could, because at the time I was working as a consultant at Deloitte, right, and. You know, I now call myself a recovering consultant because it was you work very long hours, right? And I kind of had this idea for a company. I thought it had legs, and I thought it was a problem worth solving. And I thought to myself, if I want to pursue this, I can't also be working 80, 100 hours a week as a consultant because it's just not going to. It's not feasible. To kind of do that. You can't be in a headspace for the clients that are paying you to do a day-to-day job and then pull yourself out and do something else and do a good job of both, right? So I thought, well, I need to do, you know, I want to take the time off to pursue the business because I thought it was, you know, that it had legs and it was a problem worth solving, but I don't want to just kind of take time off from work and I need to be in an environment which is conducive to kind of putting together a team. So I knew I needed a technical co-founder, and I knew I needed, I was doing what every good consultant does, which is puts together a team that knows what they're doing, and then helps the team to kind of achieve the vision. So I decided to pursue my MBA, which I'm very proud to say kind of got into Oxford to do that. It's a great ecosystem for that, right? They're very kind of big on startups. There's funding out there. There's lots of talent. There's lots of mixers that allow people from different disciplines to meet and mix. And I kind of didn't really need too much of the rest of that because 2 weeks into the program, I met Grant, and he was also doing his MBA, trying to get more of the business side of his skill set together because it had all been very kind of geophysics, technical side of technical experience. And he literally sat across the table from me one day, and we just started chatting, right? He's like, "You're that drone guy, right?" And I was like, kinda. So I just kind of started talking to him about the business. And I convinced him to, you know, come out and walk a field with me, right? And I'll show you the problems. I said, I don't know what the technical solution looks like to this, but I think it has something to do with, you know, prediction and modeling, but it's not my field of expertise. But if it's yours, come and walk a field with me. So we walked a field out in like Adwell, with a farmer that I'd met in Oxford, and he was literally shocked by what farmers were getting out of their technology versus what they needed. And he's like, well, if we employ the modeling techniques that have existed for years in the energy sector, right, we could do a lot of good and kind of plug this gap. And so we went from shaking hands in a field in 2018 to forming a business and then proving out a proof of concept and getting some money on board and building a team and then going from there. So our only investor is Oxford Sciences Enterprises. Our only institutional investor is Oxford Sciences Enterprises, the VC, the fund attached to Oxford University here in the UK. And that was a very kind of strategic choice on us as well, because we wanted to make sure that we were independent, right? So there's no agrochem supplier sitting behind us, rubbing their hands together gleefully, looking for the data. Your data is completely private, and that's stipulated in all of our contracts as well. But it was a chance meeting. Grant and I finding each other across a coffee table at Oxford one day.
Thank goodness.
Put this whole thing in motion. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what it does take. And I think that's what any fabulous solution quite often comes by chance. And it's a little bit less than chance because, like you say, it's the perfect place to have, meetings of minds, quite literally. This problem of knowing what biomass you've got in a grazed grassed situation, and despite your accent, I mean you live in London now, aren't you? So it's a proper UK
Bromley.
Can't be more British than that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a UK based solution.
Yes.
That is easily accessed. It's not very expensive. It's a bit like a Netflix subscription. You get on there and you can see your fields on your phone every day.
Yeah, exactly. So all the modeling for this was initially built in Northern Ireland, actually. So it was, and that was very much we call it the Frank Sinatra approach to app development. If we can make it here, we can make it anywhere. Kind of thing. And yeah. Well, we say that because Northern Ireland is a very difficult place from a remote sensing data perspective. And when I say that, I mean like the imagery, right? Because you are going to get far less satellite imagery up there than you are anywhere else in the UK. And that was a great litmus test for us that we can make this work without the imagery. So we picked the place that is going to hold our feet to the fire correctly in that way. And when it was working up there and we were getting super positive feedback out of our farmers, we knew we really kind of had something. And then that's when we started chatting to each other, Lisa, a little over a year ago now. And eventually we put together a testing package that was all across the UK, and the product testers put it through the paces for a couple of months, right, and told us what they liked and what their feedback was. And
and that's a continuing part of it, isn't it, Jared? Yeah. I mean, because we've challenged you on multi-species sorts, for example. There's lots more of those going in the ground.
Yeah.
And you've said, okay, well, we're perennial, perennial clover based system, that's what it's based on, but you're not just going, well, that's it, tough luck, are you? You've got some ideas.
No, we're never done. We don't like resting on our laurels. I don't think we have any. We're just gonna have to crack on. So we're lining up tests. So multi-species swarts presents like a really interesting challenge, right? What you plant isn't necessarily what you get, and what you get at the beginning isn't what you have in 6 months. Cows have got preferences. We all know that. So the thing for us at the moment is we're going to be testing, actually, our modeling on multi-species swards for the coming year. So we've got a couple of, we're lining up a few farmers at the moment to make sure that we've got the fields in place. And these are really experienced guys that know their fields really well, and they've had their multi-species swards in. Some of them are quite young, some of those fields are older, right? So they've had a chance to kind of age in a little bit. So we've got a good kind of spectrum there of where those fields should be up to, along with continuing kind of PRG on those farms as well, right? PRG heavy swards. So we're going to get a good chance to kind of iterate our modeling on those fields now. So that's going to be really exciting to see. We're very confident that the model we've got for the multi-species swards is going to be pretty good, but that's why we put it through testing, so that we can make it a lot better. And just so everybody kind of knows that the process of putting something in the hands of paying farmers isn't just we invent a program and publish it. That feels a bit seat of the pants for us. So what we do is we build it and then you're testing every component as you're kind of building it, right? Does this work? Does the button click if I tell it to click, right? And you're doing everything all the way through. And then you put the whole puzzle together. And then you're doing what's called internal testing. So this is where you do a barrier. This is where all of us internally are playing with it and we're trying to break it, right? And we're trying all the different ways that we think it might break. And then we put it in the hands of if it passes that, right? Which there's always things that break, so you fix them, right? You got to imagine it's like tempered steel, right? You want to break it a little bit. You want to smash it to the point that it becomes hard and it becomes tested. And then after it passes internal testing, that's when we put it in the hands of our product champions and product testers out in the field. And if you want something to break, you give it to somebody that's not yourself. And sure enough, you'll find a way that it breaks relatively quickly. And that kind of feedback is super useful to us as well. And then after that's broken, we get to fix that. And then those updates go out to the product champions and product testers. And then they get it again and again. And they get us to the point that it stops breaking, right? And after it's passed that kind of test, that's when it goes out to paying customers. It also means that it's quite hard to give a definitive date that something will be ready by, because it's, well, how many times do we have to put it through that testing process before it's ready, right? But we would prefer, and our thesis on this is that quality matters a lot more than speed, right? We get that everybody needs a service that ticks all these boxes, like we understand that, but we want to give you something that we can hand on our heart, tell you is you can rely on, rather than, you know, just putting something in your hands that hasn't been thoroughly tested. We always want to make sure we're resting on quality. Yeah,
that's the thing with data, isn't it? It's so important that it's reliable. And if you can't rely on it and you think, oh, well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, then actually, is it worth having?
Yeah, exactly.
So you might as well, yeah, just go and have a look in the field. So, I mean, that's what I found.
Yeah.
You know, completely reassuring is that you guys have got our backs, if you like. You know, you're checking that data. You're making it reliable. But I did know an update over the weekend, Jared, that said, well, it's something to do with Canberra. So on my test app. So
yeah, so there's some testing going on and some new functionality, which I'm not sure the front end of that is live just yet. It might be all the back end updates and stuff. Yeah. But there's,
I always get very excited, Jared, when I see something really popping up on
screen.
There's the weekend, you could see I was busy.
Toys.
Yeah.
So there's a piece of functionality which is going through testing now and soon enough we'll be rolling it out to product champions and testers and that as well, where you take photos and it goes up to the cloud, but then it'll tell you the dry matter in the photos, right? So if you've finished off a field, let's say, and you're like, oh, what is that? What is left, right? Like, what is that residual really? You take a couple of photos and we'll tell you what's there because we can see the grass. Right, so we can see the grass, and literally we can tell how green it is and how much dry matter is there and the rest of it, and we can tell where in the field you are when you took it, and we can tell, you know, the angle you were pointing at and how big the rest of the field is, and what did the rest of the field look like relative to where you were standing and took the photo. It's a very low touch, easy way to get a high degree of confidence on that residual number, right? Because we're all about what's an easy way for our farmers to get a lot more confidence? What's an easy way for them to give us some additional information that means that we have that the margin of error on any modeling or anything like that is really tight. And, you know, that kind of ground truth is high quality information. It's going to be going through testing, but hopefully it's going to be ready for springtime when everybody's putting their cows back out. Yeah.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And it just blows my mind how much information there is on a mobile phone picture. It's quite scary, actually, when I think about all the pictures they take, you know, just selfing out in the field.
Yeah, yeah, on.
They know exactly where I am. And you said, like, the phone angle, you can tell absolutely everything from a picture.
Yeah.
We don't even know what we've got in our hands, do we, really, with the mobile phones. But glad that we can do that. And it sounds really exciting. And yeah, it is just amazing working with you. And there's going to be a lot of people signing up for this come the spring, because, you know, we've had two particularly challenging springs and autumns.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't know where we were last spring. We thought, oh, right, okay, well, at least we've got the autumn. Well, autumn also was quite challenging with the weather coming in as it is. Yeah. So, you know, this prediction modelling can really give us that reassurance that, you know, grass is going, it's the right time to turn out, and, you know, where you are.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna do that for the guys, right? I mean, it's anybody that's on the service is gonna get updates. So, you know, in January, you know, let's say you typically put your cows out first week of March, right? Let's just say that's when you're usually doing it, or first, you know, in February sometime or something like that. But there's always that, is it good? I know that's when I usually do it, but is my grass moving again, or should I leave my cows indoors or something like that? And you can get false starts as well, where you go out, in, out, right? So one of the things we're doing for people this in the coming spring is we're going to be sending basically little reports that say it looks like in 3 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever, the conditions exist that your grass is going to be moving again. And then the next week you get another update. The next week, so you can kind of see that forecast getting closer towards you, and also you can see it change as the forecast changes, right? Because we are reliant a little bit there on weather forecasts and satellite data forecasts and stuff like that. But you can see that moving towards you, and then that means that you understand when that growth is going to be there to support your cows again. And then the only thing people are required to do to kind of kick off the year is, you know, because we want that ground truth to start the year off. So literally you just start what's called, you know, your rotations in the application, and you're going to take some photos, or you're just going to tell us yourself what you think is there, right? And then that's enough for us to start the year off. And then that's it. From there, we're off to the races.
And Lisa, what are we asking then of our farmer shareholders, members, farmers, anyone who's listening, who's interested, what are we asking of them?
So essentially, just to get in contact with us, any member of the team. Jared's been working with virtually the whole of our guys that go out onto farm. So they're, you know, any of those guys will be able to help, and they put them in contact with Jared and his team, and they'll talk them through it. It's very straightforward, and you know, all of a sudden their whole outlook on, you know, how much grass have I got out there suddenly turns into, I know how much grass I've got out there.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very, you know, there's two main ways to benefit everybody. And one is the labor savings, right? You don't have to walk your fields anywhere near as much, if at all, right? You're still going to see them. You're still going to go out and check out your water troughs and everything like that, you know. So you'll be checking as kind of incidentally by virtue of the other stuff you're doing. But that time you spend doing big W's, let's say, to go out and work out what's actually in your field, you can put that time back in your pocket, and you can, you know, less time walking fields and more time for everything else is kind of the way we're saying that. And it, particularly if you're spending money on help on your farm and they're doing that walking for you, right, the labor savings are about kind of 5 to 1, because you'll spend thousands in a year on time of people walking field. If they walk on fields a day a week, right, or half a day a week, that's labor cost to you guys. So you should always, you can think about that. You can think, well, if I just pay for a service, which is, you know, if you're a farmer shareholder, $550 per acre per annum, the return on investment on that for the farmer is roughly kind of 5 to 1. But the other way we really kind of benefit farmers is we're predicting when that growth is going to be there for you, so you can get back in the field at the right time. That growth is going to be there, right? So potentially earlier in the year, you can get out, even if it's just like half a week earlier, right? 3 or 4 days earlier, that's good money in your pocket at a point in time when you know, we're trying to put together everything we can get, right? All of us are struggling a little bit. So putting, like, you know, get to grass earlier, graze more often throughout the year, and leave the right amount of cover on at the end of the year. And there's a study done by Chuggers that shows that for every, if you, the more you graze, the more grass you make, right? If you can get, and that's, you know, grazing at the right time. If you get one additional grazing in, right, that platform will produce, four, on average, just shy of 1,400 kilograms dry matter more because of the extra grazing event than if you had not done it. And then just 1,000 kilograms of additional dry matter translates to a saving of about just shy of 190 pounds per hectare, so 77 pounds per acre. And we cost, you know, for non-farmer shareholders, we cost 6 pounds per acre for the year, and for farmer shareholders we're 550. So even if you get a bit of labor savings and a bit of saving from grass, you know, grass sward optimization, there's really good economics on the table there for all of our farmers.
Thanks for listening today. I hope you found the conversation interesting, and we really value that you chose to listen to our podcast. If you haven't already, then please hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening to this today. And until next time, I'll speak to you soon.